If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open the Psalm chapter 73. Psalm chapter 73, it's on the Bible in front of you or near you on page 486. It'll also be on the screen behind me. The title of the message today is A Church That Senses God's Presence. I trust that all of you got through your Christmas gatherings okay, and now we're into 2020. It's the fifth day of the year, and just let me let you know that there are only 354 days left until Christmas. So if you haven't got your Christmas shopping done yet, you have 354 days. On the New Year's video, there was missing a day. Did anybody catch the day that was missing? Yes, February 29 was not in that video. We did not put it together, but as I was watching it go through, it's like, there's no February 29 on that. So anyway, just didn't know if anybody caught that or not. Some of you did. We're going to continue in our series in John. Some of you are wondering when we're going to be done with that. We are going to be done in September of that. But for the first 3 weeks of 2020, I want to share with you, why do we exist as First Wesleyan Church? And so I hope that you come each week. And it actually tells you on the front of your bulletin every week. It might be something that you've seen, maybe something you don't even aware of, and it's right at the top. We exist because we desire to sense God's presence every time we meet. We want to be a church of prayer, and we want to have outreach into the community. Today, I'm going to talk about sensing God's presence. Next week, I'm going to talk about being a church of prayer. The 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be speaking about having outreach into the community, and what a great thing it is. We have the 2020 Challenge, and I encourage you all to be involved in that. Next week, I'm going to talk about being a church of prayer, and we have got to, we need to, we have to be a church that's adamant and vital in prayer. Oswald Chambers says it this way, I'll say it next week as well, prayer is the greater work, and we have to be prayer people of prayer. To be a church of prayer means we have to be persons of prayer. And so I will talk about that next week. But today, I want to talk about God's presence. Oh, the glory of God's presence. There's something about being in God's presence that sets aside everything else. You have been able to be in the presence of maybe some family members over Christmas. Some of those presents you haven't enjoyed all that much because of grating that you have with some of those family members. Some of those, you're like, oh, it's so good to be with my mom. It's so good to be with my dad. It's so good to be with my kid. And there's something about that presence, but there's something about God's presence. God's presence is so very important. His presence can be with us every day. But there's something that happens when people gather in this way, all to worship God, where God's presence is, that's different than any other gathering. If you happen to go to a Rush game, that's okay. You can go to a Rush game, but they're not there to worship God. Nobody's there to worship God. Now, people can give praise to God at a Rush game. I understand that. People can also not give praise to God at a Rush game or anywhere else. But this place is set aside to sense God's presence and to give praise to God. So if you join me in the verse, Psalm chapter 73, verse 28. I'm going to point out some other scriptures from the Bible today, but start with me here if you would. Here's what it says. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. The first thing I want you to see, it is good for you to be near God. Individually, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here's a question for you. Where in your year are you hoping to be near God? Or better yet, in this next month, where are you hoping to be near God? Better yet, today, where do you plan to be near God? Every day is good for you to be near God. But here's the struggle. We have to make time. We have to carve out time. I put that word carve into it because we do. We have to carve out time to be near God. We must plan for it. We plan for so many other things. You might have been worried about what you're going to eat for lunch today. And so because of that, you plan something for food. Some of you, I don't care. It doesn't really matter. But you plan for other things. We plan for sporting events. Sometimes, even on Sundays, we plan around the sporting events instead of planning around church. There's a couple of playoff games going today. I don't know if you know that, if you're a football fan. Sorry, Toby. The Broncos didn't make it this year. Sorry, but that's okay. We plan around sporting events. I walked past a guy yesterday, and he has a sports team he likes. And I knew on occasion, if his sports team was playing on Sunday, he just had a tough time getting to church. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I should move on. We plan to eat, we plan to shop, we plan to read fictional books, we plan 2.5 hours, 3 hours to go to a movie. When do you plan to draw near to God? Every one of us in this room, if you are a Christ follower or not, I encourage you to draw near to God. He wants to draw near to you, but you have to have that time. Where's your spot? Where is your spot that you spend time with God? Every day. Is it your recliner? Is it your bed? Be careful, because you might fall back asleep. Many of us in this room have done that. I'm just going to spend 2 minutes with the Lord, and then it's not 2 minutes. But it could be at a bed. It could be at your kitchen table. It could be in your car. The Bible says this, but for me, it is good to be near God. 1 Corinthians tells us your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And many times when we talk about your body being a temple of the Holy Spirit, we talk about what we're ingesting into us and what are we eating and what are we drinking and is that good? But in the same way, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, so that means our mind is a temple of the Holy Spirit. How is your mind? Is it focused on God at all? Or is this one of the 52 times that your mind will be focused on God is in Sunday morning? Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We are filled with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Corporately, in the Old Testament, there's examples of Israelites gathering in the tabernacle, and they gathered for feasts. And in the New Testament, they gathered at Pentecost and the feeding of the 5,000. There's something that happens when you grab a group of people together for the same purpose to worship God. God's presence shows up. Let me illustrate for just a moment. Let's say that President Trump called me up today and he said, I want to come visit you at your house. That would be kind of fun. I think that we'd probably paint, we'd probably get new carpeting and new flooring, we'd probably clean our house about 14 times because the president is coming, right? And my family, it would be fun. Now, you also know that I'd probably be very careful what I would say to the president because I don't know what he would tweet about what I would say following our time, right? I think our president of the United States, whether it be President Trump or President Obama or President Washington, whatever president, is one of the most powerful men in the world. I believe that. And so me and having him come to my house, that would be quite fun. I'd enjoy that. But let's say that President Trump was asked and agreed to come to the Monument Civic Center grand opening. What if he did? 10,000 people there, or however many the monument's going to seat or stand. 10,000 people there. Now, think of the electricity that would be in the room with President Trump being there. Do you think the amount of electricity in the room would be a little more than at my house with President Trump? I believe so, because everybody would be like, there'd just be a buzz that would be there, right? There's something happens that when you get with the Lord, when you draw near to him intimately, that there's just a peaceful time about that. But there's something when people gather, like all of us that are here, to draw near to God, that there's just something that happens. Some of you, when you worship, you don't do anything flamboyant at all, whatsoever. You stand there and you're... And that's okay, because that's the way some people worship. And some of you, you like to hold your hands up. Whatever it is, there's something when people get together. And God's presence is here today because I've just seen it in first service and second service. There's something that happens when we get together, whether it be in the silence of the moment or the rambunctious applause of people or praises. There's just something that happens when people get together to worship God, and we continue to ask for God's presence every time we meet. If you're not in a church gathering somewhere, you miss it. You miss what happens when God's presence is there. Let me say this. There are buildings inside of Rapid City that do not praise God. That's not their intent. This building is. There are even church buildings, maybe inside of Rapid City. I'll be careful how I say this. But definitely around the world, that don't exist to praise God. And God's presence is not there. We pray, we desire, I hope you desire, that God's presence is here. Why do we gather? To set our week aright. To set our heart correctly. It challenges us beyond where we are at. Last Sunday, I was able to be in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I worshiped at my wife's church that she grew up in, and the service was for me. I mean, they didn't just make it for me. I mean, they just didn't say, okay, Steve, we're glad you're here, and this is a song we're going to sing. We sang a great song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. That was for me. I love one of the phrases in it. One of the phrases is, God is not dead, nor does he sleep. I love that phrase. It was for me. The Sunday school class was for me. There's something about when we get in God's presence that it's for you. A number of you have said this to me in times past, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but I believe God is working. This is what you've said to me at times. Did you have a microphone in our house? And I said, no, I didn't. And it's God's word. There's something that happens when you're with other believers and God's presence is there and God speaks. I've heard of ministers also sharing sometimes, and they say, they share a message and somebody comes up and says, well, this is what God spoke to me. And they look through their notes and they're like, where was that in my notes? I didn't say anything about it. Why? Because you have availed yourself to be in God's presence and God's presence is here and he speaks. There are sometimes when I speak up in front or another minister and they're talking about something and your mind goes somewhere else. Actually, his mind went somewhere else. Mark Butcher mentioned in staff meeting the other day, I made a comment and he said, you know, I just thought about that the whole first service and I don't have any clue what your message was until second service I listened to the rest of your message. Because God works in that way. When God's presence is here, he works. It's where we're nurtured, where we're challenged, where we're provoked, and where we're pricked in our souls. And maybe that's why we stay away at times. We can get so distracted. Small groups can be good. Getting together for coffee can be good. Getting together to eat lunch. But we gather to worship God, and God's presence is here. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Second thing I want you to see is this. Make God your refuge. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. 1 Samuel 14, verse 35. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first time he had built an altar to the Lord. I encourage you to make an altar to the Lord every day. Some of you might remember the movie Cast Away and the guy who ended up on the island and he had to find some kind of refuge. If you were cast away somewhere, what would you do for a refuge? If you had a piece of paper, would that be much of a refuge? That wouldn't be a very good refuge. If you had cardboard, that might serve some which way of help, but sooner or later it's going to get wet and it's going to get old and crummy. Tarp would be good, but even in South Dakota times, it's going to blow around, it's going to rip. And so what do you want? You maybe want some brick or you maybe want some wood to have a solid refuge. Spiritually speaking, make God your refuge. I believe most of you have. But dig in deeper. If you dig in deeper to the Lord, I believe that there could be times of trials and testing that come to help you go even further deeper in the Lord. Are you ready for that trial of 2020 to come? It might come. And God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our times of trouble. That's what the psalmist says. Make God your refuge. Who's our refuge? Sometimes it's this right here. Our refuge is our pocketbook. Rely on money. Oh yeah, I got enough money. I'm good. But what happens when it's all wiped out? God is our refuge, not a pocketbook. Some of you rely upon someone else. Maybe it's a mom or a dad or a spouse. God needs to be your refuge. Maybe it's your health. Oh man, I'm healthy. Woohoo! I'm healthy, man. I maintain. I don't drink any pop. I don't drink any alcohol. I run 4 times a day. I am good to go. And when your health gives way, God is our refuge. We must make God our refuge. And thirdly, may we tell of the Lord's works. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I might tell of all your works. There's something encouraging when you hear somebody else tell a story, and you're like, I identify with that. And so, please listen to one story. Steve Woolman's coming at this point in time. I've asked him to share, and he has a story that of his own life, of what God has done in and through his life. Steve, thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Good morning. Pastor Steve's asked me to come here and talk about Psalms 73, 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. Today I'm just going to speak about a personal experience in my life when I realized that Jesus Christ was my Savior. And my memory's pretty bad, so you got to bear with me. My wife would contest to that. But I have a very clear memory of this one time in my life, which happened about 27 years ago. So I'm going to give you a kind of a background of my personal life. I grew up, I was born in the 70s. I grew up in a broken family. I was a pretty young age when my parents divorced, and that was a hard time in my life. But still, with that being all said, my father was a very religious person, and he continued to take us to church. I went to church every Sunday, and he made it a point that we went to church. And I'm kind of glad that Pastor Steve has tasked me with this this message today, because I've never ever thought about why my father has that connection with God. So later in the next week or two, I'm going to have that conversation with him, because I haven't ever had that conversation. But he always took us to church. And I went to church, but it never really meant anything other than the fact that we went to church. Then I grew up, had to graduate, had to go into the real world and do something. Well, obviously, I wasn't my mother's star child. I wasn't that intellectual. I didn't have a lot going for me other than the fact that I had a little bit of passion about what I did. So I decided, well, at an early age, I was going to go to the military. So I graduated on Saturday from high school, and Monday morning, I was on a plane to San Diego, and I joined the United States Marine Corps. And that's what I did right after high school. I was in the Marine Corps for not quite a year, about 8 months. I came home, and when I came home, I married my high school sweetheart. And we got married at a very young age, and we still went to church. I went to church. Matter of fact, a lot of times in the military, I went to church just because it was a great place to get away from the craziness, the drill instructors, and it was a great place just to go. And plus, a lot of people there were from the South, and it's very animated, and it was a whole other perspective. But with that being said, I was married, I was in the Marine Corps, and it was shortly after that, you know, when you're in the military, nothing ever bad happens. So I'm floating around in the Indian Ocean, having a great time. We're checking out ports. We're going all over the world, and we're headed to Australia. Couldn't have been any better than that. I headed to Australia. I was going to see the sights. It was going to be a good time. On our way to Australia, we got the word that we were to turn the ship around, and we're headed to Somalia. Some things had happened in Africa, and the playtime went away, and now we're headed to Africa. At that point in time in my life, I was still just going to church just to go to church. I didn't realize, you know, why I would go into church. And now things are getting real, really real. I'm going to Africa. I don't know what's going to happen. When we get there, things transpired really quickly. We got there. We're out on the ocean front. We're in front of Somalia. And the next thing you know, we're in the hangar deck. I was in an LPH, which is a miniature aircraft carrier for helicopters. We were in the hangar deck, and we're getting suited up, and we're getting all of our ammo, all of our gear, all of our rifles. And for some reason, this always stuck to me, but I had a sergeant, Sergeant Manuelos. He was a sergeant for one of the platoons. And the sergeants were grenade, M203 grenade launchers, so they had a vest full of grenades. They had, you know, incendiary grenades, alum grenades, high explosive grenades. And he's putting his vest on, he's getting all this gear on. A supply guy comes by and starts handing him hand grenades. And Sergeant Benuelos was like, what in the heck? I don't know if he really said that, but what in the heck am I gonna do with these? I don't want any more. I got a whole chest full. If I get shot, I'm gonna blow up. Well, if you know my personality, I was like, I'll take anything you give me. So I was taking grenades left and right, took Sergeant Benuelos' grenades, hooked them up. I got a bunch of ammo. I was a heavy machine gunner. I was ready to go. If I'm going to go into fight, I'm going to go with everything I got. And so then we get that all done. We're all geared up. We're sitting in the hangar deck in a stick. A stick is basically the number of Marines that are going to get on that helicopter to go out and do whatever mission they got to do. So while I'm in that stick, like every other time in the military, hurry up and wait. Nothing to do. We're just sitting there. So I was really scared at this point. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was probably the scaredest I've ever been, other than being up here today. And I didn't know what to do. And I wanted to talk to my wife. So I probably used some excuse to go to the bathroom, I'm assuming. And I went down the scuttle. And back in my day, we didn't have personal sat phones. We didn't have email. We didn't have all that stuff. We had to write letters. But the ship had one satellite phone. That's all it had. And I had purchased a card for it. I remember to this day, it was $80, and I got 4 minutes and 59 seconds. So I grabbed my card. I told my sergeant, hey, I want to go and hit the head real quick. And I ran over to the sat phone, and I called my wife. And I just said, hey, Sarah, I just want you to know that I love you. And she immediately replied, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing's wrong. I just want you to know that I love you and all is good. And again, she replied, what's wrong? Well, thankfully, my card expired and we ran out of time, so I didn't explain anything to her. So that was the end of that conversation. So then I go back, and I'm in my stick, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting some more. And finally, the green light came, and they said, okay, it's time to go. We gotta go. Things are not looking good. We got to progress. So they call up our stick to load the choppers, and we go up to the flight deck. And at this point in time, I'm scared out of my wits. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. I'm not thinking about anything church-related by any means. And the sensory overload is just absolutely undescribable. I mean, you're going up there. I can remember it and smell it to this day. You got jet fuel burning. You got the heat of the jet engines. If anybody's been in a helicopter, the smell of hydraulic oil is very prominent. And obviously, the smell of the Marines is obviously prominent also. We all stank. But all that stuff is going on. And I remember at that point in time was probably the hardest part of my life, because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And it wasn't until the helicopter took off, and as soon as the wheels left the deck, I had this overwhelming sense of peacefulness and calm, and everything went away. I didn't worry about anything. I wasn't seeing things or thinking that bad things were going to happen. It just everything went away, and I was very peaceful and very calm. And it wasn't until that point in time where, to me, I feel like that was the Holy Spirit talking to me, and that's when my relationship with Christ came to be, I guess. And the reason why I want to tell that story is because, like Psalms 73:28 says, you got to draw near to God. And in my opinion, everybody has to have an experience or a story. That happens to be mine. But there has to be an experience or a story, because the next 27 years of my life, things happen. Jobs, kids, family, and there's a lot of turmoil. And for the next 27 years, all that turmoil keeps returning and keeps bringing me down. And I always have to draw back to that one instance and always remember that one time that brought me near to Christ. And I think that's the only reason why I remember the story so well, because I always have to play it back in my head over and over and over. Because in life, a lot of bad things happen, and it's always trying to bring us down. So that's my story. It's just want everybody to remind you just to draw near to your one experience and stay with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Again, your story is your story. Maybe something that you respond to him. We tell of his good works, what Christ has done. By the way, God's not done with Steve Woolman yet. He's continuing to use him, and he's continuing to use you. Tell of his good works. I encourage you, draw near to God. Take the Lord as your refuge. Tell of his good works. I desire for our church to be so alive with God's presence that every time we meet, it's just so thick. It's like the fog that I drove through on Christmas Day. It's not concocted by some special potion. You don't put something on. It's nothing that I can create. What it is asking God to drop his presence in here with us. Well, Steve, I can worship God on the mountain. You can. But there's something about when you get together with other believers. I can worship God better with my pals over a few drinks on Sunday. You might be able to, but there's something about coming to a place where God's presence is. I can say a quick prayer. I'm good with that and start my day. That's good, but there's something about God's presence here. I don't want my kid to drop behind in this sport, and so I need to do this. Then you're missing out. It's a good travel day for me. I don't need to go to church because we can travel. Be in church and sense God's presence. Hebrews tells us this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's so easy at times to be distracted and pulled off course. But when we meet with a group of others consistently, they help guide us at times. Maybe you've had that in your life. Maybe you've missed somebody at First Wesleyan Church, and you're like, where is that person? Give them a call. There's something about God's presence that keeps us together. I wonder if there's somebody also around you that needs to draw near God. You've seen some things in their life, and you just need to say, hey, I was in church today or whenever, this last Sunday, whatever, and our pastor said something about drawing near to God. I just want to draw you near to God. Do you know God? Use that as a conversation. It's good to be near God. May you be near him each day.
Do you have a spot, each of us in this room, do you have a spot that you go to and say, this is my time with God. I'm going to open his word. I'm going to let him speak to me from his word. I'm going to let him speak to me through that quiet, small voice. May we have God as our refuge. If you have God as your refuge, take that to the bank. Tell of his good works. Use this week. Maybe you can have some people around you that you can just tell of what God's done in your life. It's your story. And just say, can I just tell you what God's done in my life in this last year? I just want to share with you. And maybe you'll open a door. It's good to be near God. We pray for God's presence to be felt here. And as you go, we pray that God's presence will go with you. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for each of you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for the challenge from your word. May we each draw near to you each day. Those in this room who draw near each day know of the power that comes by drawing near to you. I pray that we each would be willing to draw near to you, but we pray also that every time we meet that we would sense your presence here. May we not neglect getting together, but may we come and sense your presence because it's good when we are in your presence. God, would you be our refuge? And then God, thank you for the ways that you work through our lives. Thank you for the testimony of Steve Woolman. Thank you for working in his life and in that instance and all through his life. And I just thank you for each person in here. Each person has a story, and I just pray that we would tell of your good works. God, your presence has been here. And I just pray for each individual that we would want to come to sense your presence each and every week. And may your presence be so relevant in our lives. God, I pray that as we go from this place on this day, that your presence would go with us, before us. May your presence be in us. And may we be your spokespeople for a dying and hurting world. May you protect our minds this week, Lord. May you help us in our actions. May you minister through our attitudes. May you help each marriage in this room glorify you. May you help each single in this room glorify your name. May you help each widow in this room glorify your name. Thank you, God, for your presence here today. Go with us from this place, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.